Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're at, and we'll continue our study on the armor tonight. Of course, all this brought us up to verse 10 of chapter 6. It said, finally, we talked about chapters 1 through 5, that we need to learn to sit, that is, rest in the Lord. We need to learn to walk according to His word and that which is right in His will. And then, of course, to stand, and that is stand against the wiles of the devil. And in chapter 6, he gives us the way to do that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we had identified the four categories of the demonic spirits, the principalities, that's those and that were assigned to certain areas in the country, or in the world, as far as that goes. and probably those spots where the demonic power needed to be. And the job of that was, they're not as much about winning over, it's about holding on to. They're just areas in the world that is in darkness. And false religions, it's just a place of darkness, and so they're sort of there for that very purpose. And then we talked about the fact that any demonic spirit, by the way, is only an influence in your life. Unlike Flip Wilson, who said the devil made me do it, and in Flip's case, maybe he did, but in a Christian's case, demons can only be an influence in your life. They can't make you do anything. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You just have to trust in the Lord about that. But any time that you're trying to serve the Lord and do what's right, there's going to be a demonic influence trying to put obstacles in your way and so forth. And so he's going to try to blind you from the truth, or he will try to steal away that truth from you. So look out for that influence. And it said the principalities, and it said the powers, and we talked about the spirits that want to empower your life. The Holy Spirit wants to empower your life as a believer, and so Satan has powers, or those who personally want to tempt you and to stop you again in that way, and as I said, influence you to do what they want you to do. And then rulers of the darkness of this world. I know we dealt with this in a greater detail last week, just trying to run through it real quick with you. The rulers of the darkness of this world. And, of course, this talks about there are areas in the world where there's a lot of control or a lot of authority. And Satan wants to get a hold of that area as well. He wants to try to influence that and deal with those places. That's why, you know, somebody said Washington, D.C. is wicked. Well, there is wickedness there. And I think the devil is trying to really promote that over goodness, false religion over true Christianity and so forth. And so that's the idea of these rulers of this world, no matter where it is around the world. And that's one of the reasons why I think the Bible says we need to pray for the authority, those making decisions and so forth. And we talked about that as well. Got into germs and all that. We won't get into all that today. Those things that we can't see. Can't see germs, but they're there. Can't see that other world that, you know, I can't see the demons and the angels and all, but are they there? Well, if the Bible's true, they are. All right? And so, and I believe the Bible, of course, is true. And then the fourth category was spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that's where some would say, well, that's dealing with leadership. I think that's the previous one. I think this is talking about high places. And the Bible was always a place where false religion was promoted. They always build on the high places. And so this is a promotion of false religion. And Satan, some people think, Satan's against religion. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, I think he's for religion. But he's not for biblical Christianity at all, and he will fight against that. And so we talked about he's actually willing to promote religion. He'll promote Jehovah's Witness. He'll promote Mormonism and whatever other false religions are out there. He'll promote Protestant religion. Now, I'm not saying that all people in the Protestant churches, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, so forth, they're all bad. I'm not saying about any of them. There's nice people, good people, I'm sure, in Mormonism or in Jehovah's Witnesses or anything like that. That's not the point. I'm talking about the false teaching. They're getting false teaching. They're being influenced incorrectly as to what the Bible said. And it's true so much in our Protestant churches today, the Reformation coming about with Martin Luther, which I mentioned to you last week, the 500th anniversary of Reformation, basically, is on Halloween. It happened on Halloween or All Hallows Night. You find that anytime the world out there had some special celebration or whatever, the Catholic Church would take that same time, that same subject or situation, and turn it around. Well, we had Halloween and kind of worship of demons and all that, and they turned to All Hallows Night and the saints and, those kind of things. But anyway, he nailed a 95 thesis writing, 95 reasons against the Catholic indulgences, selling indulgences and so forth. Nailed it to the door of the Wittenberg Church in Wittenberg, Germany. Catholic Church there. He was a monk in the church. And that kind of got things started. And out come this, what we had called today, the Reformation or the Protestant movement protesting the things of the Catholic Church. And so, Satan's not against any of that as long as it's not a biblical truth. And so he is against that. Then we said in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Now notice that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. And remember, that was the last thing we talked about, that you sit or resting in the Lord, that you walk in His will, you grow and walk in His will, and then you stand. That means to stand against. We talked about the fact we're not to have to do, we're just to stand. It's done. We just need to stand with what has already been done. Jesus paid it all. He said it is finished. I don't have to add anything to that. Certainly don't want to take anything from that. I just need to stand for that. And we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. But notice the term evil day. Some people get that mixed up there in verse 13. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. What do I need the armor of God? And we're going to see what that is, because we've got to be willing to stand. And we have to stand against somebody that is stronger than us. Satan is stronger than you. You can't fight against Satan on your own. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. That's why the world so much is in darkness. Why? Because they're trying to stand using a false religion. They're trying to stand using a false philosophy. The philosophers of the day, all that. And what's happening? Well, darkness just grows. It gets worse. And so forth. And so, we need our country today, as we walk away from the Bible, it just gets worse in our society. The closer we are to the Bible, the better it gets. The Bible produces light. The further you walk away from light, what happens? just get darker, doesn't it? You know, you put a light here and it's dark out, and you're standing right under it, you got the full light. Move out 10 feet, all of a sudden, still got light, but it's not quite as much. A little further, a little further, and a little further. And what was that comedian? Had the long nose. What was he? Jimmy Durante. How many of you remember Jimmy Durante and his show on TV? I don't see how old you are. He had the spotlight on him. Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. Keeps walking in the spotlight to the next spot, and all of a sudden he disappears. Well, that's kind of what happens with us if we're not careful. The light is the Word. The further we walk from the Word, the further we get into darkness. And so we need to be careful of that. So he's saying here, put on this armor of God. Why? So you'll be able to stand in the evil day. Now the evil day, it's always been evil out there. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve went against God's will, satanic work has been going on. And so there's always been darkness. There is evil. But he's not talking about something about down the road here it's going to get bad. It's bad right now. Then what's he talking about? Well, as I said, he's not saying when you live in evil times, because times are evil. There's always evil. But what he is saying is that when you have a personal bout with evil, it's in the day when evil temptation comes to you. It's that day when there's a desire to just yield. Maybe just throw up your hands. Oh, what's the use? And get out of the will of God. Maybe not stand where you're supposed to stand. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, and when it's all done, do what? Stand. And it's easy to back up. It's easy not to say something when you should say something. Or, we can reverse that. It's easy to say something, probably when you ought to keep your mouth shut. We just need to ask God what we should do, and then we ought to be willing to do it. Whatever the case may be. To stand in that time when there's temptation in your life, not to be what God wants you to be. And so your light dims when we do that. Let this little light shine is what God wants to do. So he says, listen, you need that armor because there's going to be days when you're tempted. There's going to be days when it's just easier to yield to wrong or not to stand up for right. So you remember both in Luke chapter 4, but also in Matthew chapter 4. You remember, let me use Matthew 4. You remember where Jesus had come in Matthew 3 to get baptized of John the Baptist? Now why did Jesus Christ need to be baptized? Anybody know? I'll just throw it out. It's not part of what I'm dealing with. But since I'm there, my little example, excellent. There's a word I'm looking for, because it's the same reason that we get baptized. Now, why do we get baptized? Huh? Yeah. Well, I tell you, sometimes you surprise me. You really did. That's what 27, almost 28 years of sitting under my teaching will do for you. Boy, did I turn that around real quick, didn't I? Huh? I turned that around to me. Look at me. Look what I've done with this raw material. And I mean raw material. Now, the word's identification. We all know that. And sometimes it's hard to remember what word. But the reason that I should get baptized after we get saved, that's our next step after salvation, before we go into serving the Lord, which is exactly what Jesus did. He got baptized and then began his earthly ministry from there. All right, so we get saved, we get baptized, join the church, a part of the church, and now we enter into the service of the Lord. Well, as young, we're not like the Lord. We're young in the Lord, so we have to grow before we maybe start doing a lot of things, but we can follow others around and help others and grow and mature and so forth. But when we get baptized, it has nothing to do with washing away your sins. What washes away your sins? You sing it all the time. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If it's nothing but the blood, then why baptism? It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin, because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that did what? It paid for our sin. He died, taking our place, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when he shed his blood, what was he shedding then? He was shedding his life. Or, in other words, he gave his life that we might have life. Alright, so we get baptized to identify ourselves. And what do? And this is the reason why we do only immersion, and we only do immersion one way. And that's backwards, take you back, buried in the likeness of his death, under the water, you're buried, and raised to walk in what? Newness of life. That's what is expected of us. We're going to walk now in this new life in Christ. We're not going to be perfect at it, but that's the way we're moving. We have identified ourselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the payment. Now, why did Jesus get baptized? Well, it certainly wasn't because he's a sinner, because he wasn't. It certainly wasn't because he's trying to wash away his sins, which baptism won't wash away your sins anyway. But why? Well, why did we get baptized? What was that word? Identification. We're identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Now, why did he get baptized? To identify himself with us as sinners. He took our sin. See? So if you stop and think about it, that's the reason. Some people say, well, I got baptized because baptism washes away your sin. No, it's not. Outward water and a ritual never takes care of an inward problem. Never. God has to deal inwardly with us. And that change comes inwardly and to the outward. And so, identification. So, anyway, got off on that. Didn't need to do that for this, but now you know. Identification, that's the reason why we get baptized. Why did he get baptized in Matthew chapter 3? Because he identified himself with us as sinners. Alright? And now, chapter 4, it begins with what happens. Well, he was taken out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit of God and was out there 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says in, let me find it here, I got it written down somewhere. I'll give you the verse. Where is it? Matthew, well, I don't have it exactly, but I don't want to look it up, but Matthew chapter 4, it goes down there a little ways, and it said, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, you know, remember, devil said, he's hungered, he hasn't ate for 40 days, 40 nights. And so, then it said that when the devil had ended all that temptation, what did he do? He departed from him for a season. Why for a season? A season means for another opportune time. Satan's always looking for an opportune time to come against you. He knows the human nature. He knows those sins in your life which does easily beset you. And so the demons that are in the area, as they scan the area and watch, and they don't have to worry about the lost, you know. They don't have to worry about the loss of some crazy Christian like you getting around them and trying to help them to come to know the Lord as their Savior, then they'll run over and say, hey, you ought to call so-and-so and get somebody to call you while you're in the middle of dealing with a problem or something like that. So, but by and large, he's watching to see if he can what? Get you to back up. So he can what? Take that light that you have, back you up. Well, what happens to that area where the light used to be? It's dark. He wants that idea, stand in the armor of God, is because the Lord paid the price. He won the battle. Now we just need to stand, see, there. And so there's going to be that times in your life, those opportune times that Satan's going to look at when you're at your weakest hour, something's happened, you're not in the right mindset, you're discouraged, whatever it is, you can think of those things that can happen. Something comes buy in your life that, you know, I heard somebody say one time that they quit smoking and then somebody stand there smoking close to them. Smell that smoke. And all that. What is that? That's a weak time, right? They turns around and says, hey, you want a cigarette? I didn't mean to. Here, let me offer you one. And you're not careful what you do. You resume taking. Yeah. Barbara there, she's looking a little green. No, you know, or the person that's has a problem with alcohol, you know. And the friend says, I want to have a beer. How about you having a beer? And you've had a bad day. Things are not going well. You're upset. You're not even sure God loves you anymore. It's so bad. And all sure, just give it to me, you know. I know a fellow one time that, you know, him and his wife had a spat and things just wasn't working good. And he just went out, got a motel room, bought him a 6-pack of beer. Christian. That's the point is what? In your weakest hour, when things aren't going well, when you're discouraged or whatever the case may be, that's that evil day. Not, we are always in evil days, but it's your evil day. It's your attack. Just look at it that way. It's when Satan attacks you. And he doesn't attack you when you're strong, you've read your Bible, you're praying, your mindset is right. That's not when he attacks. He waits to that weak time. And then he attacks you. He goes after you. That's the point of the evil day here. He's hoping that you will let down your guard. So, you better understand the armor or you're going to lose and be defeated. And do that which you should not do. Which brings us to verse 14. Then, again, he reiterates, he ends up in verse 13 with stand. And then in verse 14 he says, stand therefore. Here's how you're standing, in other words. You have to have your loins girt with the truth. Your loins is the center of your body. Alright. And so, the idea here is having a belt. You know, in the Middle East they would put the girdle, they would call it. And that's the idea. Girt about. The girdle on here. You've seen people that lifting heavy objects, they'll put this big wide belt thing on and wear it and so forth. You need to have the belt. It's the belt of truth. See, that's a number one priority in our Christian battle with light and darkness. We have to know the truth. Satan, what does the Bible say of Satan? Satan is a what? He's a what? Huh? Yeah, he's a deceiver because he's a... What does John 8:44 say? That Satan is a liar. Opposite of truth, right? He doesn't care whether it's a quarter truth, a half truth, or three quarter truth. He just don't want it to be the truth. Yeah. Matter of fact, most religion that man's made up has a lot of truth in it. Then it also has a lot of lying in it. And sometimes I'd rather somebody just come out and lie to you than come out and give you half truth, because then you got to stop and think about it. Well, that sounds right, but what about... And you got to figure it out, you know, and pray about it. But that's the picture, the belt of truth. And so, priority number one. This isn't the first thing mentioned just because he thought of it. This is number one priority. It's the first thing that's mentioned, is the truth. Why is it so important to be in a church where the Bible is taught? Because it's the Bible that gives us the truth. We need to know what the Bible says. And so we have the belt of truth here to go against Satan, who is the liar. Now, I mentioned the Bible being the truth. There's a passage of Scripture, Ecclesiastes 4:12, that says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If the Satan, we'll use Satan because it could be in a human being, but if Satan comes up against you, then you may get defeated. But if you have a friend that comes up and say, hey, you don't want to go that way, you don't want to listen to that, you don't want to do that, then that helps. And you get three together, that's like two guys picking you up saying, come on, you're going with us. We're not going that direction. We're not going to do that. A threefold cord. You take one cord and a rope and you can stretch it and break it. You wrap another one around it, it gets harder. You put the third one around there, I'll tell you, you can pull a lot of weight with that thing. A threefold cord is not easily broken. All right? And so, by the way, isn't that amazing? Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Number three is the number of God. I was thinking about the Bible there, and I got to thinking, there's a threefold cord of the Bible as well. There is inspiration, preservation, which is the battle today. Why, preacher, are you adamant about the King James Bible, the KJB, not the KJV, the KJB Bible? Because I don't think it's a version of the Bible. I think it is the Bible. And I think it's the Bible for the English-speaking people. I'm not talking about German or French or whatever, the African languages or whatever. I'm talking about for the English-speaking people. I listened to a guy today just for a few moments. I was looking something up in a commentary form on the internet, on my phone. And they had this guy talking about a particular thing, so I hit it and listened to him. And he's talking about how he had translated certain words, and he did it for all the different versions of the Bible, the King James, the New International Version, and da-da-da-da-da, and all the different versions of the Bible. Well, the problem is that where he's using this particular Bible he's using, he said, it's even older than the King James Version of the Bible. Well, I don't care if it's the King James was written in 1900. I want to know where was it translated from. And it's translated from the Textus Receptus, or the received text. Then I look where the Textus Receptus received text comes from, and it just moves me up through the Bibles, and I find out that's the line of preservation. I look at all these other Bibles, and they're over here in what they call the Alexandrian. Alexandria, Egypt is where so much false religion comes from. And they're translating all this. And we don't want to get into all that. I'm just simply, we need to know that we have the preserved Word of God. If God can save you, what kind of life did you get? Eternal life. That means He preserves you unto the day of redemption, doesn't it? That's what it says about the Holy Spirit. He seals you unto the day of redemption. One of these days, you're going to be fully redeemed. Now, you're fully redeemed now, but I mean you're going to get it all. You're going to walk the streets of gold. You're not doing that right now. You can look Jesus Christ right in the face. You can't do that right now. But one of these days, you're going to be able to do all that. That's what it means, sealed until the day of redemption. When that is all completed, you're in heaven, you're with the Lord and all that. But you're sealed until that day. You know why? Because God preserves. Everything God does, He does for an eternal way. And so when He gives us the Word, we need to have the preserved Word of God. I want to know where this book right here, where did it come from? And I go back and study and I find, oh, all right. So when I want to translate into German or something, I don't go to the King James Bible. That's for the English speaking. I go back to the Textus Receptus. That's the Greek, what we call the Koine Greek. It's a dead language today. They don't even use it in Greece anymore. And that's another thing, is God killed that particular, so it doesn't change. When we talk about, man, you're cool, it's not talking about your temperature. Why? Because the English language changes, doesn't it? I remember when people started talking about, they had a ton of fun. And I went, they had a what? ton of fun. And I use ton all the time now, you know, which means a lot. What I'm saying is that all, language has changed. Well, the Koine Greek no longer changed because it's not even used. God uses that and he preserves the word. So, inspiration, God breathed the word. Preservation through the translations. And then publication, the written form or the word of mouth. And it all comes from our faith in a God that is able to breathe, inspire, preserve, and put it together and give it to us in a form that we can read. That's a threefold cord right there. Inspiration, preservation, and publication. I have the Word of God. So truth is either what we perceive or what God says. I believe truth is what God says. I might perceive something wrongly. I might hear something and I didn't hear it correctly. I want to know what God has to say about it. See? And so that is God's word. Now, about is important. You ever notice a policeman? He has more around his waist than he does anything. You ever notice that? You ever been up close to a policeman and he's got this black belt on? And he's got, you know, a phone on there, and he's got, of course, a gun on there, and he's got ammunition pouches on there. And all the way around, he's got all these things that he needs. You know, Don could probably tell us better than anybody. I probably had the handcuffs. He knows about that. But no, we had all kinds of things in military. Same way, the belt. Yeah, that's one of the first things you know. Once you get your clothes on, you grab that belt, and it's lined with all these things. I had a belt, and my belt had ammunition pouch on each side. It had a metal case on the side with the knife in it, what else was on it? The canteen pouch, canteen cup. Canteen all together in there, I think it's a quart of water that you put in that. I had a 45 because I carried a 45. Just many different things around there. There's what you have to have when you're out. You're not looking, hey, can somebody bring me? You better have it with you, you know, what you need. And so, that's that belt. We need that belt of truth. We need, what do you mean? You gotta have it with you, gotta reach out. Well, I don't always have my Bible. I need a Bible here, but it's the Bible that I need to fight against the devil. Devil's gonna lie to you, and you need to have the truth. See? You need to have that truth there. If you fire the weapon and you need another, clip, you better have one on your belt. Or a clip holder, as some of the guys carried. But you gotta have it with you. And so that's that idea, that belt of truth. And there are four cords in the belt of truth. Let me give them to you and we'll close. Number one is Jesus. We need to have Jesus. He said, I am the truth. What do you mean by that? You better have the right Savior. The devil will tell you that, good works will get you to heaven. That's the wrong Savior. I don't want to trust on keeping the Ten Commandments or some good things that I do for people. I need to have the right Savior. Now, a lot of people talk about Jesus, and I don't even know who they're talking about after they describe him. You know, I always tell the joke, somebody describes Pastor Phillips, yeah, I know him, tall, dark, and handsome, long hair. You say, wait a minute, that's not the Pastor Phillips I know. You sure you got the right guy? You know, and sometimes people describe the Jesus they say they know, and I'm like, who's that? You know, I want the Jesus of the Bible, see? So we need to have the right Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I need on my belt of truth, I need to have the right Savior. Jesus Christ. Number two, I need to have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. It says in Ephesians 5, 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. I need to have the Holy Spirit, the truth. In other words, I need to have the right understanding of the Spirit of God. Some people don't. They'll put the Holy Spirit of God things that the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to do with. So I need to have the right Savior. I need to have the right Spirit. And then I have to have, and we've already talked about this, the right Bible. The Bible says it's the Word of Truth. And 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need the right book. Need the right Savior, the right Spirit. We need the right book. And then the church. The church is not done away with. The church is not passé today. You can call it the worship center. You can call it the community, whatever. But we're talking about a church. I just kind of chuckled to myself today. I was listening to radio and there's an advertisement on there. Lead pastor. And that's fine. I mean, there's nothing left the Bible. It's just, I just chuckled. For years, they were called the senior pastor. And it's almost like saying, well, we don't want to call it senior anymore. We want to be different. Let's call it the lead pastor, you know, just to be different. We don't want to call it the church anymore. We want to call it, you know, name some other thing. Well, the Bible calls it the church. All right. And so we need the right church. The Bible says that it's the pillar, 1 Timothy 3:15, it's the pillar and the ground of truth. The church is. It's the pillar and the ground of truth. So we need the right Savior, Jesus. We need the right Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. We need the right book, the precious Word of God. And we need the right church that has these other right things. In other words, take those things and brings it into a relationship with us. It's kind of like having the belt on, all that stuff on that belt. It was there for a purpose. We need the church with all the things on it. That brings strength to us. We can fight. I can fight the devil because I have the Lord, but I sure need the church. It's good for me to come in on Wednesday night, hear some loudmouth preacher tell me what the Bible says and reminds me, even though I don't know it. I need that. I need to shake hands with God's children. I need to laugh and joke. We do around here a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need one another. How do I know we need one? I don't need anybody. You need one another. How do you know that? Because the Bible says it. Goes back to the truth. The devil will tell you what? I don't need anybody. All right, just stick around. You'll be walking in the darkness before you know it. We need it because God says we need it. We need the right Savior, the right Spirit, the right book, and the right church. And the first attack is get you out of reading your Bible, attending church, da-da-da-da-da. That's how he deals with us. If we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, he said you need to get the belt of truth. Verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth. Grab that belt of truth and put it on because you're going to need it. The worst thing that happened is to get in the battle, whether it's a policeman or a military guy, get in the battle and reach, oh, I forgot my belt. I forgot all those things of me. The policeman grabs for his stun gun and it's not there. He grabs for his revolver and it's not there. He grabs for his radio and it's not there. What happened? Where's your belt at, buddy? That's where it all is. And the military guy, he uses up his ammunition, he drops that clip and he reaches for, oh no, I forgot my belt. You know, I don't have it there anymore. Or my bayonet. Now, I didn't carry a rifle in Vietnam, and so I didn't have the bayonet to put on, but I did carry a bayonet in a metal sheath on my side, hung to that belt. I used it many times on my knees trying to dig out see if I could find a mine because of the demolition. But I didn't use it for any of those other purposes. I mean, whatever you use a knife for, you use. But not to put it on the end of a rifle. But I needed it. And so you go to reach for it. Whoop, we forgot our belt. I want that stun gun. I forgot my belt. We need that. Guess what you need? You need the right Jesus. You need the right Spirit. You need the right Bible, and you need the right church, one that has those things on it as well. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.